Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are tuned to Time to Talk About It with Apostle Gloria G. Cheever Porter. Right here, coming live from Orlando, Florida. Apostle Porter will be with you in a few minutes. Until then, we will begin the broadcast and begin to pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we hold to you these people that have called in and wanted prayer. We are praying right now for Gemma Smith, who needs a job. Lord, touch her right now in the name of Jesus. You know what she needs, Lord Father God. Father God, you know what her household needs today, Lord Father God. Father God, touch her right now, Lord Father. We praying for Kenneth Phillips. Touch his body right now, Lord Father. Father God, you say, by your stripes, we are already healed, Lord Father. And Father God, we thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for his healing today right now, Lord. We praying for Pastor Mosley in Jacksonville. We thanking you for continual strength after her stroke. Continue to touch her body. We praying for Cheryl Singh for healing right now. Let her trust in the Lord and know that God is an awesome healer. Praying for Crystal Mom that had surgery. We are waiting on the praise report from that. Continue to touch her, Lord. Praying for baby Journey also that had surgery. We ask that you continue to touch baby Journey, Lord. We praying for Lee Bondell, who suffers from diabetes and a pinched nerve in his neck. Father God, we ask you, Lord Father God, to touch his body right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let him trust and call on you, Lord, for his healing. We praying for Norma right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch Norma, touch her body, give her peace right now. We praying for all those today that have lost loved ones. We praying for the family of Linda Miller. We also praying for the Williams family. Father God, touch them, Lord Father. You say you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord Father. Father God, we thanking you for giving them peace of mind and comfort right now. In this time of their loss, Lord Father, strengthen them right now, Lord Father. In the name of Jesus. And right now we are praying for all the young men today. For the enemy is very shrewd. And those are our future generation. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, just touch them right now, Lord Father God. Father God, let them be the man, Lord Father God, that you call them to be, Lord Father, that they would rise up like never before, Lord. We are praying for Denise De La Paz, who has bleeding in the brain. Father God, touch her, Lord Father God. Father God, dry that blood up right now that do not belong there in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father God, touch Dr. McManus and Pastor McManus right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we praying for all the pastors, Lord, all the leaders today In the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father God, as they stand before your congregation, Lord Father God, we ask, Lord Father God, that you continue to keep your shield of protection, Lord Father God, round about them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father God, you said we are to pray for our leaders, Lord Father God, and we praying and standing in the gap for them. Right now, Lord Father, we've been praying, Lord Father God, for our president, Lord Father God, and his family, Lord Father God. Pray for the White House, Lord. We've been praying right now, Lord Father God, for the up-and-coming president, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we trusting and believing, Lord Father God, that you have heard our prayers, Lord Father. Father God, that you're a merciful God, and you will answer our prayers, Father. And Father God, we ask all this in Jesus' name. We pray. And at this present time, I'll turn you right over to Apostle Porter.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, 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 God is good to us, is he not? Oh, my, my, my. So glad to be with you again here today. Hallelujah. You know, we are in transition, and it's a little hassle right at this time. But we thank God for the hassle. We thank God for the challenges. We thank God for everything that he is doing in our life today. If it was not for God on our side, I don't know what we will do. Oh, glory to God. Let me give you some inspiration today. A little word. The best way to deal with the pressures of everyday life is to patiently rely on God. Amen. The best way to deal with the pressures of everyday life is to patiently rely on God. Ah, yes, that's why you need God. You see, you need God for everything. The pressure that you have to endure, the people you have to endure. Also, to amaze me is so many people that don't know they have faults. And they all think they perfect. That they don't have any faults, you know. And it's just a sad situation is today. I mean, all over the world. It's not just here. It's all over the world. People don't think they have. Everybody think they right. You see. Amen. So the world is full of self-righteous people. Is that right? Praise God, praise God. Now that's not what I'm gonna talk about today. But I thank God today for. Our sister Diane is a great help here. I tell you, she's been such a help to me. She's been such a help for me. I tell you, you know what? I need millions of dollars to pay her, you know, to do what she do. You know, she stand in the gap whenever I need, whatever I need her to do, she always stand in the gap, and I'm appreciative of it. You know, they say give a person the flowers while they can smell them and hear them, you know. So when they're dead, they don't know nothing about your gratitudes or what have you, thankfulness, all right? So talk to them now and tell them that. You know, everybody want to feel needed at one point or another, you know. Now, you know you do, so now put yourself in everybody else's place. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good, and I'm thankful today that he's good. I am just so grateful. I thank God for my listeners, especially one of my favorite ones over there in St. Thomas. I just tell you, I can't help. I have to give her flowers. Appreciate her. Yes, she encourages me, yes, constantly, and it just lifts me up. It makes me want to go on further. You know, before then, I probably want to give up, throw in the towel and everything else. But when I see her and hear her and know how she's reacting to the word of God, it lifts me up, makes me feel like it's worth all the agony and the pain and the discouragements and everything that I go through, you know, and disappointments and what have you that I go through, it's worth it. One, just one, you know, and she's the one. Glory be to God. And I just want to thank God for her today. And I thank God for her family, too, because she part of it. So we have to thank God for that family, right? We have to thank God for our family, too, because if it wasn't for our family, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't make it. Because they keep us praying. Glory to God. Your family will keep you praying. Yes, yes, yes. Glory to God. Now, you know, we have been talking about the anointing and, you know, all of this things that we need in Christ Jesus to function. Because so many times we don't function properly. Now, y'all have to forgive us or whatever if you're having any kind of difficulty whatsoever. The phones are acting up in this part of the land. You know, we've been having, you know, let me just say this here. If it wasn't for God, and you know the way the devil been whipping on us, I mean, he been coming at us from every angle you could think of. You think of it, he's been coming. We was even at church on yesterday, and some jits come up and try to start something, want to fight. I mean, we just at church praying. Then here come the cops. I mean, all we doing is in church praying. Okay. Now, you tell me the devil ain't busy. He is so busy. Everywhere we turn, then we got the phone, finally got the phone. We thought we had it hooked up, and it won't allow us to use the old phone. You see what I'm saying? So we had to come through another means. Do you get the picture? So he's fighting from every angle. Now, I ain't going no further. I ain't tell you the rest of it. You have to talk to me on, you know, in person. Then I'll tell you the rest of it. But anyway, that's just some of the things that he has been trying to do. So you need encouragement. We need encouragement. You know, oh, my God, it zaps all you two, don't it? Oh, thank God. And if it wasn't for the anointing, people, let me tell you this. If it wasn't for the anointing, we couldn't make it. Did you hear me? We could not make it. This body was so tired, it just went on to sleep. And it did what it wanted to do, keep sleeping. Hallelujah. I just kept on sleeping. I missed the prayer time this morning. I just kept sleeping. Lord have mercy. And I'm usually awake for something like that. You know, I'm usually awake. But I didn't know. No. I mean, he has been whipping. So I know you're praying for me, right? Yes, you are. You're praying for us because all of us is involved, all right? We're all involved. And listen, we needed some help, muscle help. We couldn't get none of that. You know, we're trying to move, and we couldn't get no muscle help. And, you know, that was pretty hard for the people that we had. We only had a few folks that had sympathy for us, you know, try to help us out, you know. And I thank God for each and every one of them that put a hand to the plow and help us. But it has been a rough week. So pray for us to get our strength back, you know. We're not through yet now. We are not through yet. Do you hear me? We're not through. Mm-mm. We got a long way to go to me. Okay, so if you want to help, call me. Call me. But nonetheless, you know, we're going to talk about Samson, a man of strength. Thank you. We're going to talk about Samson, a man of strength today. I'm just going to read a little bit of, you know, throughout a lot of scripture deals with it, but I'm going to start with the 14th and the 6th is out, the 5th and the 6th verse. And it reads as such. Then went Samson down
and came to the vineyards of Zebedee. And behold, a young lion roared against him. See, as you begin to make your journey with God, I told you, devil don't care where he gets you at, who you with, or how he get you. You see what I'm saying? But he roared against him. This is the important part. Sixth verse. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. See, now, he was on his way to a mission. A lot of times people would say that Samson had walked out of God. But no, Samson wasn't walking out of God. He was walking in God at the time. Notice now, as he was going down, it said, what? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So his anointing kicked in. Do you get the picture? The anointing of God kicked in upon him. Do you hear what I'm saying? With his bare hand, okay, because of what? The anointing. You can do what? Tear your enemy up. Your enemy can't do nothing with you except God allow him to do it. Now, he's on his way to somewhere, taking his father and mother. Remember that, please, him. See, now he's getting crazy. You know. All the time, we don't know God is using us and why he's using us. Do you get the picture? Mm-hmm. Huh? You don't know all the time. And this is what he said. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Now, he's going to take his parents down there because he sees some woman outside of his church. Huh? Outside of his synagogue. Notice the scripture say, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Now, he done found an unbeliever, and he going out there because she pleased him. She looking good. Huh? All right. So nobody else in the camp look good. If you change your eyesight, the ones in your camp will look good too. See? But you got to change how you see it. All right? If you look through the eyes of God, they're beautiful. All right. Okay. Now, I hope you got that. Mm-hmm. And he told his father, okay, he rented. He didn't tell him about the lion. And the Bible says, after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Boy, they can get up real quick, can't they? Them bees come and found that and just started to do it. And listen, what he did, this part I like. It ain't got too much to do with it, but it's part of the story. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. He just started telling his mom and dad, he done this. Would you do that? Mm. Or would you tell your mom today? You're going to tell somebody that you killed that lion with your bear. So now let's look at it this way. Somebody had to know about it in order for to write it in this book. Okay? Mom and dad might have not known, but somebody had to know. All right. So he was in pursuit of a woman that was not his type, was should have not even been in his mind. But when that spirit takes over, you forget about who you should get, and you go and get something that's not of your own, huh? Not your own kind, so to speak. You're going to get somebody that you're not yoked together with. You can't be yoked. And when things go wrong, all kind of things go wrong, you in trouble. Now only God can rescue you. Now listen, if God is the only one who can rescue you, what do? You lean totally on him. God, I can't handle this. I need your help. You're going to have to direct me in this, huh? Not Samsonite. You ain't putting on this side of Samson.
It did not say Samson wasn't anointed, did it?
Say the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And let me tell you, when the Spirit of God come upon you, you have some strength. You see what I'm saying? Now, you don't always know what's going to activate that strength. See, with Samuel, what had to activate his strength? The light come against you. The Spirit of God will come upon you to what? To withstand that enemy that you have come against you. Now, we didn't know that. We oftentimes we fall into the trap and we just start whining and complaining, don't we? That's what we do. And we do that better than we do standing for God in the midst of your trial. Huh? This is where we act. But let me tell you. Now think about this today. We're going to talk about this. The lifestyle. His lifestyle. Samson's lifestyle. All the stories about his lifestyle. Now God says that he sent him there. He could not listen to it. He couldn't go no other way than what he went. Now, I know you say he made the choice. He made the choice that God had imparted within him. And he made that choice so that God could do what? Revenge his people against the Philistines. Now, when trouble come in your life, let me tell you this, I won't tell you nothing else today. Trouble come in your life, God cannot judge the other person, the enemy, unless he do something to his righteous.
Come on now.
Huh? That's why they come against you, so that they can be judged by God. Not you, but by God. You don't say, oh, look what God done for me. It ain't about you.
Exactly.
See, it's about God, huh? The righteousness. See, if you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the enemy can't just come against you any kind of way.
Come on now.
Huh? See, God opens the way to allow that enemy to come against you so that he can judge that enemy.
Come on now.
Have you ever wondered, you all, we know, we always go back thinking, why they always getting away with everything? I'm doing all I know how to do. I'm doing the right thing here and the right thing there and all this. Why are they always coming against me? And you know God always allow them to come against you, don't he?
Oh, yeah.
But if you stop bellyaching for 1 minute, God can do something. Hmm. Now, some of you have heard this before. Well, you know, I used to do that. I did it for a long time. See? And against somebody. I mean, I thought it was wrong. God gave them all the money. I ain't had no money. I'm living homeless. I ain't got nothing at all. And I just could not see. I couldn't see nothing. But the fact that God, you ain't punish him, but I'm getting punished. And I'm walking up right. And they out there doing everything they big enough to do in some old two. And I'm just living holy. All is holy. I know what the Bible says. I'm trying to keep this word and live this word. And my lifestyle is totally about the word of God. But they were getting away. They was doping and smoking and doing everything and laying, playing, lying too. You know, they were doing everything. And I thought it was so unfair because they wasn't getting no slack and I was getting all the slack. And I was praying one day, and after a couple of years, I was praying. I'm still mad. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was mad. Couldn't understand why are they living the life of Riley, and I'm down here homeless and ain't got nothing. Why? You know, you just ask God, why? Why is they doing it? And it's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. All I had to do is stop that whining about how good they live it and start thanking God for my life, Captain Strength, what I do have. I did have a cement flow to live to lay on. I had a roof on my head, even though it was a flow to sleep on. But yet, still, I didn't thank God. I didn't praise God that I was still praying and reading my scripture and preaching the gospel, and these people not doing any of these things. And where would they go if they die? I didn't think of it in that capacity. The one day God said, you stop crying and whining. And I said, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I am at fault here because I kept it going for years. And as soon as I did, all that stuff stopped. God said, now I can handle it.
Come on.
Because you gave it to me instead of you trying to figure it out all the time. Now, you doing that too? Huh? You doing that? Now, you got a lifestyle of holiness. You living for God. You every day, you just living for God, right? Mm. And look like all hell and broke loose against you. Mm. You ain't got nothing. No money, no honey, no house, no home. You ain't got nothing. Your children turn against you. Your mother, your father turn against you. Your cousin and your grandma, too.
Come on now.
Everything and everybody, you ain't got no job. You don't even have a friend. And you know that enemy that you got, you ain't going to be around them.
Jesus.
You don't know what to do, do you? Hmm? But I'm here to tell you, you got to lean on Jesus. See? Now, Samson changed his lifestyle. Okay? Now, when you run over into, we was in the 14th chapter there, and you'd see where God was upon him, right? And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. But every time, see, he kept playing around with the enemy. He wanted this pretty girl. And he kept on playing with her. But whenever anger came, and when it was in need, what happened? He just, all I can hear him saying is, oh, God. And when he do, what happened? The anointing come upon him. He cried. The anointing come. And he did what? He slayed his enemy. Oh, my God. Do you hear me? I mean, he was a terror, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He didn't do this to lion. The next time he killed 30 men. And when he did, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The anointing came upon him. Now don't you go and try to kill nobody. Back up here now. So you taking it the wrong way. For his time, he was the chief of police.
Okay.
Break
it down.
That's all I'm trying to tell you. 30 men he killed at that time with an anointing came upon. But he could not do it without the strength of the Lord. Huh? He couldn't do any of these things. So what is it telling us today? When you present your body as a living sacrifice and holy temple unto God, which is your reasonable service, the Lord is on your side and he fights your battles. He gives you the strength to go through. He gives you the strength to hold on. He gives you the strength to have victory over your enemy. Did you know that?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Now, they did him wrong because they were tired of him. Them Philistines were tired of Samson coming in and beating up and taking and stealing and even trying to take their women. Now, they resented that. They didn't like that. That's like these gangbangers. today. You go into their territory talking about you love that woman that's in there, and that's in their territory. They're going to do something to you. See? Because you messing with some of their women. Don't care if not one of them going with them. The fact is she's in their neighborhood. Huh? And the devil is what? Hostile about anything and anybody coming into their what? Territory. This is why we have to pray about these territories. Huh? Pray where you live. Your neighborhood, your area, all your surrounding area. Pray for it because the enemy, you're in it and you're trying to do what? Conquer it through Jesus Christ, and he's not going to have it without a battle. He doesn't let you have it without a battle. I don't care where you live. You can live in a rich neighborhood, poor neighborhood, medium neighborhood. I mean, it doesn't matter the neighborhood. But the enemy is going to try to take over. There is some demons, devils in that neighborhood don't like the fact that you call yourself a Christian.
Amen. Come on now.
And he's going to fight you tooth and nail. We have, you say, what enemy? All kind of enemy. We have racists in neighborhoods. You are wrong color. It don't matter whether you black, purple, green, red, yellow. Somebody going to be in there to do what? Fight against you. We don't want them kind here. Can you imagine? They didn't want the Israelites in their neighborhood. The Philistines didn't want them in there messing with those women.
Come on now.
Huh? So they begin to plot and plan how to get rid of him, just like the devil is plotting, planning right now how to get rid of you. Doesn't matter what lifestyle. If you live a lifestyle of Christianity, you practice what you preach. That make them more angrier because you practice it. If you didn't practice it, they wouldn't bother you. See what I'm talking about? You got it? You got it? I'm just talking to you. This is time to talk about it, right? Don't be talking about it. Our lifestyle can mean our success or our failure, our downfall. What lifestyle are you living in when you call yourself a Christian? Say you've been born again. See, the problem is people don't look at that. They go say, well, you know, she's supposed to be a Christian. She's a Christian. And the Christians, when you talk to them, they say, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. It's all right to be homosexual. It's all right to drink up all the Johnny Walker Red and the vodka and the beer and all this stuff. It's all right for me to smoke and shoot heroin and all this. There ain't nothing wrong. It don't have nothing to do with my religion. You're right. It don't have a thing to do with your religion, but your Christianity has something to do with it. That's a lifestyle you have taken on, the lifestyle of the enemy. So the enemy lets you run free course, don't it? Because you want to hear. But when you become Jesus Christ, that's when things change. You find out even your relatives are turned on. I used to hear it all the time. She thinks she's something. Walking around with a Bible. I was something. I was a child of the king. They just didn't know it. They couldn't see my crown. It was in the little black book I had. That was my crown of life. See? And I tried to live it. Are you trying to live it? Huh? I'm trying to live it because I want the anointing to come forth. I want the anointing to be able to kill a lion. Without a blade, a gun, or whatever the case may be, I want to be able to destroy every enemy that come in my path. I know you want that today, and you're going to have to change your lifestyle. Change it right now in the name of Jesus. Put on Jesus Christ. See? Now, Samson started out right. He did. He started out right. But he got involved. How many of you are allowing the enemy to get you involved in some strange flesh? Everybody wants strange flesh. When they say, no, you can't have it, that means you're going for it. You got to prove that you powerful. Not in God now. You prove you're powerful in the devil. Because then you start concocting all kind of means how to get what you want. So Samson had to fight through to get what he wanted, to get this woman. He was fighting through. Because these people was not going to let him just come in there and take over just like that. Would you do that? Mm-hmm. Are you letting the enemy come in your home and take over? Are you letting the enemy come in your church and take over? Huh? We need strong people in church. We need some strong people to help with the weak. Hear what I'm saying? To help with the weak. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what we need today, some strong people. But how do you make strong people? I believe you got to teach them how to change their lifestyle, one. You can't say you belong to Jesus Christ and you're doing everything that Jesus didn't do. Huh? He said that, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But you got your own mind. You want to do your own thing. And you want it quick, fast, and in a hurry. And the Bible tells you, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a wait process. Patience. Hmm? Samson didn't have patience. He didn't have patience, nothing to do, nothing. He killed them 30 men. He went back. He killed some more. Thousand of them. I mean, he was wiping the enemy out if he could have just kept his head. But he couldn't keep his head. And then when they took his wife, the one that they gave him, they took her and gave her to somebody else. Now, you know he was going to be raging mad now. He going to tear up the whole town. Huh? Now you say, well, did God do that? Huh? Well, God gave him strength to make the Philistines mad so that God can fight against them. Hmm? He made them Philistines mad. Lord knows this. Then he got hit. He didn't just do this. Now he got to do some riddles. He got to give them riddles. And promise them, I'll leave your camp. I'll leave. Don't come back. I'll go home. He know they couldn't. He know they must don't do it. But then, see, he messed around and he got a telltale with it. Huh? He ain't satisfied. He still ain't satisfied. He's trying to please the flesh. And this is what happened. We always trying to please our flesh. What makes us happy? What makes me happy? Being with my family all the time. Yes, that makes you happy. But that may not be what God wants you to do. He wants your family. So he took Abraham away from the family, didn't he? He couldn't bless him good like he was supposed to be blessed until he got out of there. He could not give him his promise. Could not bring it to pass until he got rid of all the lost things that was in his life. And that's because we love them more than we love God. God won't have us, nobody else loving them more than they love him. You know that? It ain't gonna work. You look for trouble every time, don't you? Hmm? Now, see, in the 15th chapter of Judges, you know, here he is fight, still fighting. And he got hold of Delilah, that famous woman. Famous trickster. Huh? The famous tricks. Are you? Is your name Delilah? Hmm? Well, you know, now there are plenty of Delilahs, but we don't want to say nothing to my, well, somebody may not like it. Well, that's what you're supposed to tell them, that so they don't like it, so they can do something about it. What's wrong with you? Huh? Whatever God say about people and the things that they do, in the name of Jesus, you're supposed to say something about it, whether they like you, whether they like it or not. You are supposed to say something about it so that they can do something about it to correct That's all it's for. But we got so much filth that we become offended by whatever you tell them. And, you know, if you get that offended, that means you're doing it. And you need to correct it. Because when God tells you something and you know you're doing it, you say, okay, I'm going to work on it right, start right now.
Okay.
You see? You start working on you. And that situation, I said, well, I see so-and-so in you. Well, you may see that in me because it's in you.
Oh,
so you want to pass the book.
You ever thought of that?
No, you didn't. But let me tell you, even in the 15th chapter, the 14th verse, listen to what he said about it. He didn't know if he was still there. He lost the check. But when you read the story, you'll say, it's seeping out. Huh? The oil and the ointment is seeping out. Okay. Look at the time. Remember when they tell you about being a backstabber?
Mm-hmm.
Backstabber don't be overnight. That being it's been seeping out a little bit at a time, and you still didn't pay attention to the fact that you was losing a little bit at a time because you're too busy trying to be you. And you want people to look up to you. They'll look up to you now, but later you're going to look down on you. That's the way it works. When they find out the real you. And nobody, you know what? People always blaming somebody. You telling them. You telling the preacher this. You ain't got to tell all the preachers nothing all the time. You know why? Because God revealed it, and that's when the preacher tells you that. But you don't understand the spirit of the Lord. You don't understand the anointing.
Came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arm became as flesh that was burnt with fire, and his hands loose from off his head. The bands loose from his head.
She done tied him up. She tell you, tell me your secret, honey. You don't love me. You know how the men lie to the women. You don't love me. Just let me just have my baby. If you got a job, can you take care of baby? Are you going to be there? See, if the women stopped and asked a few questions, I don't know you. What's in your background?
Jesus.
Who's your father? Where they come from? What do they do? Do they know Jesus? We need to ask some questions sometime.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to jump on down for lack of time. You know, I'm jumping on right on down to the 18th verse. And he was so thirsty after Samson, he used the jawbone and he used whatever is at hand to hit the devil with. Give it in to
the devil instead of beating him up. Pick up your jawbone over there and hit him with.
And what is that? The name of Jesus.
Huh?
It'll be just.
The hand of Jesus will be upon whatever you
say. He got your back. He gonna back it up when you rebuke, bind that spirit that's in you and that's trying to suffocate you. Take all your strength from you. Take all your joy from you. Take all of everything that God has given you as his anointing, and the devil is squeezing. Squeeze and squeeze. You need to pick up a jawbone ass and fail it one time. That, you know what that is? The word of God. Just take the word, find your scripture and whip him down. Huh? You don't need a whole army. All you need is the word. Huh? And listen what he say. And he was so athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die of thirst? Now he done gone out a little bit.
Huh?
Now
he know God been with him all this time. But you know what's happening?
Let me tell you what's happening. Yo, anointing is seeping out. You're about to go into a backsliding state. Now you thirsty for the word of God, and it's, you're having a hard time finding it. You hear what I'm saying? Because you have allowed the enemy to drain you. You have allowed the enemy to sucker punch you. You have allowed him to take your anointing from you. You have went over to the enemy's lifestyle instead of Jesus' lifestyle. Huh? Hello? And you're looking for a hand now. You're thirsty for the word. And you want to know, am I going to fall into the hand of these uncircumcised demons? Am I going to fall in the hand of their hand? Now, you got enough sense to say that, and you don't have enough sense to lean on and say, oh, God, have mercy. I have been wrong, God. I have been dealing in the wrong camp. Huh? See, you're looking for a word now. You're thirsty. Now, you know, the Bible did say that there coming a time that that's what you're going to be doing, looking for a word. What word they're going to be looking for? A true word, because they're going to be able to find no true word. There's going to be so many people around with a word, but it's not the right word. It's not God's word. And God is trying to prepare you now so that you'll be able to stand against every word, know every word that's not of him, so that you will not fall into the trap of the enemy.
Come on,
man. See? And he's been warning and warning and warning and warning for years. Everybody want to be big time bullies. They know everything. They can do anything. They got all the nine gifts in operation. They can pray and prophesy. They don't need no prophet. They don't need. You do need each other. Why you think God give us that, these gifts? Huh? Or you pick and choose which one you want. Is that what you do? Listen, sometimes the word come from somebody you just... No, they ain't living nothing. But that person could be who? Samson. Huh? Would you want a word from Samson and you knowing he up there laying up with Delilah? Killing all these people. Would you want to hear a word from him? With your mind today, no, you wouldn't. You say, that fella ain't living nothing. Don't let him lay his hand on me. But yet the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him for him to do all the mighty acts. So you can look at this story as twofold here. To be aware of backsliding, and it is not overnight, as I told you before. Huh? It drips out. See? You play around. You forget the fellowship with your fellow man. You ain't in church. And you have no valid reason not to be. You lie, of course, but you don't have no valid reason not to be there. But you are playing what? The holiday in somebody else's church. See, he was over in somebody else's church. Samson was in somebody else's church playing the role of the harlot, the pimp. You can call him the pimp, the harlot, the prostitute, any one of those things. So you prostituted yourself. God placed you where he placed you at. You have put on Samson's robe. You became Samson and Delilah. You the victim, you the victim. Huh? Victim on both sides of the fence. I know you don't want to hear it, but the truth is the light. You're playing the role of Samson now. What? Sleep down. That's why he can lay his head peacefully. Tell Delilah all about what God told him not to tell anybody. See? Some things you're not to tell anybody. But what you ought to tell, you don't tell. And who you ought to tell, you don't tell. You go tell somebody else that don't have your back. They lied to you. Now that's where it come in, that they're gonna be, you're gonna be looking for a word. You done listened to a rotten word so long. I told you yesterday about the dead flies in the apothecary jar. You done listened to so many dead flies so long till you don't know nothing else but stink. You can't hear nothing else. All Samson could do is he had her and she felt good to him. And you today, you know, you say, this feels good to me. Me going over here feels good. Well, then you ought to leave where you at and go connect over there and leave these other people alone where God had put you at in the first place. Lord, have mercy. I'm feeling it now. Feeling it now. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel pretty good about the thing now, because when you think about how you played the harlot, the Bible calls it how you played the harlot. That's what you did. Samson was killing up them men. But honey, after everything had seeped out, all the juice that seeped out, the ointment is dried up. Your head been laying down in the devil's lap too long. You overstayed your time. You overstayed your time. Now, in this time, when it dries up, see, I told you, not overnight, I told you, you do not lose your anointing overnight. It's a process of time. God keep warning. Warning you, get rid of that. That is not what I called you to do. I didn't call you to go over there and be a harlot at somebody else's church. You're prostituting yourself and everything. I did not tell you that. You over the Philistines' house playing tiddlywinks. I didn't send you over there to do that. I sent you over there to conquer, not to join forces with the enemy. Tell them what's going on in my house, said the Lord. Tell them, this is what he's saying today, what's going on in my house, that I am in my house. There is not Ichabod over my door, but over the door that you plan to hide with is the word Ichabod. But God has departed from this place. Samson now seeing in the natural. Now, he done walked into this, and now what is happening? Time for him to pay the piper. What's going to happen when you start have to pay the piper? For your sins, for losing your anointing. Do you have to lose your eye or your life? For now you're blind and you can't see anymore. See? But yet you pretend, you just like the squirrel, you jump from limb to limb and leave a shaking and ain't nothing going on. I ain't even there, God said. You have lost your anointing because of your lifestyle. The very lifestyle that you live speaks for itself. Nobody, you say, but everybody kind of judge me. Nobody have to judge you. How you speak, how you talk, how you walk. How you play. When you are not in the house of God, when you are out of the house of God, you play with the devil. When you get in the house, you're just so good. You're so sweet and holy. You just are speaking in somebody's tongue. And the anointing is gone. Because of what? The lifestyle that you live. See? Samson went from a holy lifestyle to the devil's lifestyle. He just moved on in with it, left home altogether, and moved in from where God had put him. In the church God put him in Israel, he moved over to the Philistines' house and started worshiping with them. That's why he prostituted the word of God. I tell you, glory to God. Kids, I got any more time? Hallelujah, glory be to God. Oh, this was getting good to me. See, enticing you. See, the devil enticed you to do wrong. The devil enticed you to do wrong. church when you done got out of your church when God placed you, so you live in another church. You what you doing? Ho-hopping. See? Now, you thought we were talking about you was out there on the corner trying to pick up something. We talking about prostituting the word of God now. You left home. Samson left home, his home church, and went into somebody else's church, the devil church, thought he could conquer something without God. And he lost his anointing. Well, I'm going to say today, have you lost yours? Are you still trying to play church and there's no anointing there? Which one is it? You were successful. Huh? Now you only think you're successful and you lost it. Huh? My. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to stop praising God because I could go on another hour. I'm feeling this thing now. You know, I mean, I had a little rough time at first, but, you know, now I'm feeling this. And God, my God, is doing it, letting me know more and more and more about this thing. Praise God, how we lose it. Huh? We allow God's anointing and that ointment to seep out and dry up. You don't have the anointing because of your lifestyle. Now, you can get up and pretend all you want to. Huh? Ha, Shanda Bahari. Hallelujah. I'm going to let this. Hallelujah. I'm going to let the engineer give you the words, what you need to hear today. Because, praise God. Because I'm going another hour. I'm feeling this, man.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, if you missed the earlier part of the broadcast and you just got the tail end, I tell you, just go on to blogtalkradio.com/ time to talk about it, and you can listen to it all over again. Because you know what? That was an awesome word coming from Apostle Porter today. But I'm going to leave with you, Psalms 27. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Who would you be confident in? In the Lord. One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I tell you, God is good. He is good. Stand upon God's word, what was said to you, because Samson was anointed before he was even born. So seek God for your strength and know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That calling number is 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Also, every Friday night at 11 p.m., we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line hosted by our very own Elder Whitted. That call-in number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's every Friday night at 11 p.m. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down. Take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Let's pray one for another. I tell you, we serve an awesome God, and it said the anointing is the one that destroys every yoke, every bondage, everything that's going on in your life. I tell you, God is awesome. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Michael with I'm Just Saying. That call-in number is 917-889-2211. Till then, be blessed.
on my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Can I kneel down to pray? Pray, help me please. Instead, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends,
when I let go, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.